Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Cronin time, yeah!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Deion Miller is in for Mully today, and we are pleased to welcome in our guy Mark Grody, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, David, and good to hear your voice, Deion Miller. How are you hanging in there?
It's so nice to hear from you. You will not be stunned with this. I'm on my second rather large cup of coffee.
And she's working her way through this giant bottle of water pretty quickly, Mark. Yeah, she's double-fisted this morning with the black coffee and the mineral water, I believe that is.
I mean, getting it done.
So, Grody, you have been busy. You are getting back into the swing of things. I heard you last night hosting here, and you were in Decatur on Sunday. And it's just going to get busier for you because Thursday the Bears finally report to Bourbon A. And I have to say, I was a little disappointed, and I can't hide that fact that I was when they heard the news about Ha Ha Clinton Dix. I don't want to overreact. It is only training camp. They haven't even been on the field yet. But when you get a guy who I have called an upgrade at the position, you'd like for him to start clean. You'd like him to develop chemistry, and that's not going to be the case. How concerned should we be that he won't be on the field when the Bears get to practice Friday?
Yeah, first of all, David, I was surprised. I had no idea, no indication whatsoever that we were going to get that little bit of news that Ha Ha Clinton Dix had sprained his knee towards the end of the OTAs. I'm not overly concerned about this being a long-term injury for Ha Ha Clinton Dix, and I'm only saying that based on the tenor and the tone from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy as it pertained to the injury. It didn't feel like this was going to be something that was going to linger like deep into the season or maybe into the season at all. It is jarring, though. There's no doubt about it when you hear that your starting safety is injured already. And you know, we talked about it. The Bears were, I don't know if lucky is the right word, but they were very fortunate as far as injuries were concerned for the most part. And then one of your key guys and a key acquisition is injured right away. You know, the good news is that he is a veteran. He has played with Eddie Jackson before. You know, you still want him out there. You have a decent backup in Deion Bush. We did get to see him a little bit last year when Eddie Jackson was down. He's not flashy. He's not a star, but he is a professional. You know, DeAndre Houston Carson as well. So there is some okay depth at the position. But no doubt about it, to hear that Ha Ha Clinton Dix is injured already was jarring to hear at that outset press conference in Decatur.
Mark, I'm so worn by the kicker conversation. I don't want to be. I know that we have to continue to talk about it. And as Pace said, that it's pretty even between the two that they have right now. Do you think one of them is starting when the season begins?
I mean, probably not. I mean, that's just the way it feels to me. And part of it was confirmed in Decatur at the press conference from Pace when he said, yeah, there is a competition going on between Elliott Fry and Eddie Pinheiro. But then he used the word scour, yeah, as in I'm scouring or will be scouring the waiver wire for other potential candidates. And I keep saying that, you know, Eddie Pinheiro and Elliott Fry, neither of whom anybody knows a whole lot about, right, just because there's not a lot to go on, they might both end up being terrific kickers in the NFL, but that's just it. Neither has kicked in a real NFL game in their careers, and it doesn't feel like to me you can afford to go into this season where you have Super Bowl aspirations with a guy who has never kicked in the NFL. If this was any other year, or even if what happened last year didn't happen, it might even be acceptable. It might even be fun. And people might be getting behind these guys. Like, oh, wow, Eddie Pinheiro, man, do you see what he did on YouTube? Right. Elliott Fry played in the AAF. This guy, you know, this is kind of cool. We got two new kicker, but it's not cool when you have what happened last year. So I would tend to doubt it that one of these two guys is going to be it, but who knows?
joined by Mark Grody here on The Score, covers the Bears and also does a great job on the sidelines for WBBM, our sister station on game day, covering Bears games. Mark, I check in the Tribune this morning about how ask a question that really can't be answered, but I think that's why you write about it. When you talk about complacency, when you talk about intangibles, when you talk about a team coming off a 12-4 season that really hasn't proven one thing, and that's how do you handle success? I think you can talk about fighting it, combating it, and avoiding it, but until you do it, you don't really trust a team's ability to do it, because I think the toughest thing to duplicate on a football team can be chemistry and drive and the things that the Bears really had last year before they had achieved anything. But now that they have, what's the appropriate level of, I don't want to say concern, but interest in their ability to do just that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. This is the NFL where teams that were in the playoffs one year will fall off considerably, and then you have the opposite, which happened with the Bears last year. I think the one good thing about what happened in Detroit and that stunning against Philadelphia at Soldier Field in the playoffs was, you know, the players were stunned, you know, just a sudden death to the Bears season, and I think that's going to keep them properly motivated if they need it. And you know, and it's human nature sometimes. If you are satisfied, satiated with something, then maybe you're not going to have the same drive the next year. But I think that's going to carry them. I think that another part here's another huge thing about, you know, sustaining the success for the Bears. Like, I think the offense is going to make that big jump, and it's not just because of Mitchell Trubisky, who is properly motivated. It is because of him, but then it's also all the other guys in that offense who are in their second year of the system. Mm-hmm. Guys like Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Anthony Miller, even the offensive line working with Mitchell Trubisky and the protections and things like that. Like the offense could take another big jump. So you have an offense which knows it was just okay last year. The offense was not great. It was, dare we say, average last year. So they're properly motivated to take that next step. And then, you know, the defense is just so talented, and they're at the exact right age. Just about all those players are in their exact, or not even to their prime yet, but right at the perfect ages to stay focused and to stay motivated at this point. So while it's a good question and it's a real concern about proverbial drop-off, it seems like there's enough guys in that locker room for at least the small windows that exist in the NFL that this Bears team will not have that letdown, except for the fact that I can't see the Bears winning 12 games again this year, and that's completely based on their schedule, that it's a much more difficult schedule. They're the best team in the division. They'll go to the playoffs, but it'll probably be more like with 10 wins or 11 wins this year.
You mentioned Trubisky properly motivated. Do you believe he is properly ranked as a Tier 3 quarterback, a 25th in the league?
I wouldn't say 25th. I mean, if you're going to, you want to put him in the middle of the pack, that's totally cool with me. I mean, I understand that. There were enough inconsistencies last year, but yeah, 25th, no, I don't see that. I understand that we're a little bit insulated here in Chicago and that he is a Bears quarterback, so we're going to look at him with a hyper-focus as opposed to maybe a realistic focus when you zoom out in the national perspective. So I'm not against the national perspective. 25th is a little bit low. I would say this, though, we know that the raw materials exist for Mitchell Trubisky. We also know that there were some issues last year, but there's things that he is going to be asked to improve upon. And, you know, those things specifically are when he gets up to that line of scrimmage to be able to recognize a defense and then to find the correct open guy, not just the open guy on the intermediate route, but the open guy down the field or the open guy in the end zone, those glaring wide open moments. Another thing, too, is that he'll be more responsible this year for setting his own protection with the offensive line, knowing where the pressure might be coming, knowing when to run, knowing when to stay put, all those kinds of things. And I think there's a part of Trubisky that probably welcomes the idea that let's face it, he has not gotten much love or respect nationally as of yet. So he's still got a lot to prove. But Deion, I'd put him more at this point middle of the pack in terms of if you want to play the ranking game.
Mark, after your trip back to your old stomping grounds in Decatur, once you were done signing autographs and shaking hands with the people that remember you fondly, what stood out about what Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace had to say when they talked about their offense? They sounded excited and almost giddy because of the weapons that they have. You described last year's offense as average, and I think that's interesting because I don't think they felt that way, even though I think it's probably more accurate than their interpretation or perception of it. But what did you hear from the podium on Sunday?
Yeah, there was a couple of things that I would say. Number one is the wide receivers room. I've been thinking about that even before going to Decatur, but you know, you had those guys raving about that room, and everything changed, I thought, on draft night when they picked Riley Ridley out of Georgia in the fourth round. To me, that was like, okay, this is going to be interesting, and especially I'm not talking about guys like Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, but this does put a little bit of an alert to, you know, to guys like Javon Wims, to a much lesser degree, maybe Anthony Miller, that there's another guy in town here. That, you know, there's Ridley, and who knows how his game translates from college to the pros. I have no idea at this point, but I do know that he's really talented, and he was a guy that they admitted that they were surprised that Ridley was available in the fourth round. They probably didn't circle wide receivers a position of need, but it was just great value in the fourth round. So he's going to push Javon Wims. You also have the speedster out of Missouri who's been dealing with his own injury, Emmanuel Hall. So it just makes for a really interesting room with the wide receivers this year. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Anthony Miller brings in his second year, and Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and those guys. One of those guys needs to pop for 1,000 yards this year. So I thought that was really interesting. And then the two more quickies, the running backs room with David Montgomery, Mike Davis, and Tariq Cohen. Can't wait to see what Montgomery is, the third-round running back out of Iowa State, and if he is truly, finally, that hybrid type of running back that Matt Nagy wants. And then Leonard Floyd was a guy that Nagy or Pace singled out as having had the best off-season workout program. And in the past, when we've heard his name, because it feels like every year his name has come up, like, oh, this is his year, he's got to have a big year, you kind of roll your eyes. But based on what he did in the second half of last season, Leonard Floyd was third on this team in tackles for loss last year. He had 9 of them. And I realize that the quarterback sack numbers are not where you want them with Floyd, but maybe we need to move the focus away from that for Floyd. Like, you still want him to get his 10 sacks and all that kind of stuff, but you know, the fact that he's still a menace in the backfield without even getting to the quarterback is super encouraging for Floyd. So, yeah, I would say that those three things, the wide receivers, running back, and Leonard Floyd stood out of the positive things that those guys said yesterday.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Hope you enjoyed your trip back to Decatur. How long did you spend down there? You were,
well, you know what?
In Springfield,
in
that area?
Yeah, you know what's funny? I spent a lot of time in Central Illinois, so I went to school really quickly. I went to school at Illinois State. I worked in Peoria. I worked in Lincoln. I worked in Springfield. Applied for a job in Decatur to be an FM morning wacky morning show guy, and I didn't get the job.
How did they not give you that job? You're so wacky.
Oh, my God.
The Grody Zoo?
You know me.
Yeah.
The Grody Zoo would have been all my cast of characters. I'd be giving stuff away. It would have been crazy. But for some reason, Decatur didn't want me to be their FM morning guy. And that's the
so one. You drove into town like, look at me now, Decatur.
But you missed out on. You showed them.
I went in there and I said, I have a dance party on the score, okay?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Grody. We'll see you in Bourbon A.
See you. Looking forward to it.
Mark Grody covers the Bears for the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.